News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, the Chief Inspector of the Schools Watchdog in England, Martin Oliver, has said that the widespread change in working habits among parents is worsening school attendance. But with the growth of hybrid working, does our education system need to catch up? For more of this, we're joined by Dr. Richard Hogan, family psychologist, author of Home is Where the Start Is. Richard, are you surprised at this development, news that kids are more likely to be at home and not be in school because their parents are working from home?
No, I'm not, Shane. Good morning. I think since COVID, really, you know, the restrictions there and that concrete norm being cracked in children's psychology about school is a kind of thing you have to do, all of a sudden became kind of optional. And even schools themselves have some sort of hybrid kind of way of interacting with the school. So all of those things. And then watching parents, I suppose there's two main reasons you have to think about why a child mightn't go to school. And of course, there's the emotional-based school avoidance, which is particularly problematic for any child that's divergent, you know, neurodivergent. But, you know, you have to look at the environment of the house and the environment of the school. The house can be a really lovely environment to be in. And of course, if parents are there and you're going out the door to school, that can be a really difficult thing for the psychology of your child. But then also if the school is incredibly dull and arduous itself as an environment, and particularly if you don't have any friends or you find lunchtimes, you know, problematic, and there's a dip in, say, your interpersonal relationships, and you find that part a real struggle, you're having your lunch in the toilet, you can see why a child would really start to struggle with going into school.
Yeah, that is really difficult. Like, as a parent, how do you counter that? Because, like, you are there at home, it must be tempting to say, look, for today you can stay at home.
Yeah. You see, there, that's it, Shane. It's a positive feedback loop in psychology. The moment they start to avoid is the moment they start to avoid, and parents can start getting themselves caught in a real paradox with this thing. The more they avoid, you know. And it's kind of, and again, I have to stress, if I'm speaking about a child who doesn't have an underlying issue, I'd be very careful to utilize avoidance, because you're feeding into their psychology, you know, that in that moment when they avoid, dopamine fires, and all of a sudden now they'll be looking for that more and more every Sunday night. Do you remember when you were young, Glen Rowe used to come on, the music of Glen Rowe?
I do.
You go, oh dear Lord,
you know, done.
I better do my homework, and then the fear of the week ahead and all that kind of stuff, it became like Pavlov's dog kind of. But like in reality, when you start to kind of when you start to avoid going to school like that, it causes all sorts of problems. I work with this so much, Shane, and I've worked with some incredibly entrenched cases of school refusal and emotional-based school avoidance. And it is very hard. And parents can feel their agency really diminished very quickly. And I often hear schools kind of saying, why don't they just get them up and get them into school?
We're that simple.
Yeah, exactly. You go into a bedroom and you get a 16, 17-year-old out of their bed or whatever. It's near impossible, of course, you know, because they don't want to go. And so we have to be careful that we're not complicit with them. We have to be very careful that we don't allow them to start utilizing avoidance, because that is the thing that becomes a positive feedback loop. And the more they're out, the more they can't go back in, you know, and so it becomes a cycle.
So what should you be doing? You're saying, you know, don't allow them to avoid going to school. That's a mistake. But obviously, as you also said, you can't drag them out of bed anymore. And in a way, that game of bluff, I mean, it never occurred to our generation that you mightn't have to go to school.
It just
never occurred to us. And we, like, our parents wouldn't have stood for it, but it's a different world now. So how do you go about sort of, you know, breaking that or not getting into that cycle?
Well, that's the key thing. Our children have to go off into the world, Shane, and they have to compromise, and they have to be able to manage the adult world, and they have to get up, that first thing at 6 o'clock in the morning, put those feet on that ground to get out and go into work. You know, none of us at times want to go in there and do that, but we do it because we're so used to it, and that's about habit, and it's about, you know, understanding that you have to do that to get out there and work and earn some money to pay for your family. And so if we give children the message that that's kind of optional early on, you know, that you don't have to go in there, that's a real rupture in their psychology. And of course, we do need to look at the education system. We have to make the system that they're going into a little bit more appealing to them and a little bit more designed towards their uniqueness and their interests and what they're really interested in and all that kind of stuff. And so we have to look at that aspect too of it. You know, what are they going into? Why? What are they avoiding? What is so bad about the system? And so we have to look at that part too, because technology is in here, Shane, as well. Like, you know, if you're on your phone all night, that's a huge problem getting up in the morning, and sleep deprivation is a massive cause of school avoidance currently.
Yeah, we were talking about
they're going to sleep at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, and they have to get up at 6 or 7.
Now, we were talking about this on the show last week. I mean, kids should not have their phones in the bedroom at night.
No, it's a no-brainer.
It's absolutely a no-brainer.
At this point, every parent should be aware that, like, the phone in the bedroom is just a disaster. They cannot prevent themselves from going on that when there's a notification coming in. I work in schools, you know, all the time. I'm talking to teenagers, and they'd often say to me, currently there's a trend amongst teenage girls to kind of set their phone to wake up to send a message, to send a Snapchat at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, that they can be seen to be on their phone all night long. The idea of being seen to be on your phone all night long is actually desirable amongst teenagers. So that cannot be there as an option, you know. And so they, and then when you're tired as well, Shane, you know yourself, you're much more higher up, you know, optimal levels of, like, you know, agitation and just not doing well psychologically speaking, so you'll avoid things more.
Okay, so takeaway message for parents, because this is a really tricky issue here.
It's very tricky.
It's not simple, and there's no point. Don't text in and say just make them go to school, because it's just not that simple.
It's not that simple.
So
it is not. Yeah.
What is your key takeaway message to parents listening this morning?
First of all, acknowledging it is very difficult. And that's, I feel the pressure the parents are under, and it's very unfair, right? And if you've got a child avoiding school or, you know, really struggling to go into school, understand that first. Is like, you know, watch the stigma around that. Don't be giving out yourselves about that. But I would try to make a deal with them to get them back in, and trying to get them in maybe for a half day. I'm just trying to break the idea in their brain that this thing is something to be avoided. Because I've worked with this so much, and I've worked with the most entrenched cases, and all of a sudden it breaks. And they're kind of going, God, what was that for a year and a half where I avoided school? You know, and they understand themselves that they're not thriving. They understand themselves this is not good for them. I mean, I've never met a child who's avoided saying, yeah, I'm really enjoying this. They're in misery themselves and they're stuck. And so I was trying to get them into school, whatever amount, just to give them that little antidote so that they can sit there and go, actually, this isn't that bad. Actually, yeah. I'm with my friend. You know, if you can build that little bit back, all of a sudden this whole thing cracks and falls apart.
Okay. I wish I had you on speed dial and I could just ring you whenever there's a parenting issue that comes up, because you're always
when you're
a rock
pogo dancing
sense.
The next time. Yeah. When you're pogo dancing the next time, I'll tell you, don't do that.
What would Richard do? He would say, do not pogo dance at a wedding. Absolutely. Richard, always a pleasure talking to you. Dr. Richard Hogan there, family psychotherapist, author of Home is Where the Start Is, an absolute rock of good sense as well. Thank you indeed for talking to News Talk Breakfast. By the way, let us know what you think of all that. 087-1400-106. Now,
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman,
in association with AIR
on News Talk.